continue the day the Torah way. Purim, Tuesday the 10th of March, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman, The Secret of Purim Mystery.
Okay, I've sent a Purim to everyone. Really, you know, the Torah way, it's to start the way the Torah way. But here I understand it's to continue. But maybe Purim, every moment is starting again, because you don't know what's going to be the next moment, so like every minute there's a big Kiddush. Maybe. Okay, Rabbi Sai. You know, for me personally, it's my second Purim that I'm outside of Eretz Yisrael, so like, I'm trying to find some kind of nechama of having Purim outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Megillah, says the Rambam, he spells out that you read the Megillah on two places, meaning if it's on Tisbot, if it's surrounded with a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and that, so then you read it on Tisbot, if it's, and that's called the Krach. If it's not surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, even if it has a wall later on, that's called the ear. And then you read it on Yudalit. So everything is measured according to Yeshua ben Nun. How did Yeshua ben Nun become a mechutin to Purim? What's in Shechus?
Mechutin to Molik.
You could say mechutin to Molik, maybe.
Good idea.
So says the Rambam, the Lama Talua Davar b'Yimei Yeshua, the Rambam is not asked. What might be to me telling me Yeshua? Kedei lachlok kavod le'Eretz Yisrael. To give up kavod to Eretz Yisrael. What? Shaita chareva boto azman. Eretz Yisrael was destroyed, desolated in those days. And if you're going to go according to Shushan, which is the logical way to do, according to the time of the Nesef Purim, all Eretz Yisrael will be considered Yudalid. Because there was no walls in the days of Eretz Yisrael in those days. It's a little bit embarrassing to Eretz Yisrael to consider it totally desolated. It's not nice. So says the Rambam, Lama talua davar b'yimei Yeshua kedei lachlok kavod le'Eretz Yisrael. שהייתה חרבה באותו הזמן כדי שיהיו קוראים כבני שושן ויחשבו כאילו הם כרכים המוקפים חומה and consider it as if it's כרכים that were surrounded by a wall and אף על פי שאין אתה חרבין even though now they're destroyed הואיל והיו מוקפים בימי ישוע ויהיה זיכרון לארץ ישראל בנס זה concludes the Rambam it should be a זיכרון of Eretz Yisrael and this nes כשמק, huh? So even if you're in London you have a shaykh to Eretz Yisrael when it comes to Purim. He has the kern le Eretz Yisrael benesha. So let's try to understand this problem. So question number one is, you want to go back to a time that Eretz Yisrael was built? So you go back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun. You don't have to go back so far. In the interim, there were times that Eretz Yisrael was built even in the greater deal, namely in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Then the majority of Eretz Yisrael was surrounded with walls. So if you're looking to go back to a time that it was surrounded by walls, Eretz Yisrael, the days of Shlomo were even more impressive. But we don't go after the days of Shlomo. We climb back all the way to the times of Yeshua. That has to be understood why. Secondly, the Lashon of the Rambam is, V'yazikon le'Eretz Yisrael b'nes zeh. In this miracle, there should be a zikon to Eretz Yisrael. Why is he calling Purim a nes? It's l'choy. He could have said, V'yazikon le'Eretz Yisrael b'moyed zeh, b'chag zeh. Benesse. What's that, Gosh of the Rambam? And thirdly, what's really the relationship between Eretz Yisrael and Purim? It was a mess that was done in Chutzlaret. It sounds like it's a PR trick. Really, we should go according to the days of Shushan. That's what we should define how cities are, will be, what category they'll be in. If they had a wall in the days of Shushan, they're called Mukaf. If they didn't, they didn't. But that's a little bit embarrassing to Eretz Yisrael, because according to that yardstick, Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed. So, you know what? Let's go to a different time, which sounds like an artificial time. I think it is that Eretz Yisrael should not be insulted. It doesn't sound like Emes. Does it belong to does Purim? Is there a real shaykes between Purim and Eretz Yisrael? Or just to avoid embarrassment to Eretz Yisrael, let's go back to an era which truly has nothing to do with Purim, just to avoid Eretz Yisrael from being embarrassed. It doesn't sound emes. Obviously, there has to be an intrinsic relationship between Purim and Eretz Yisrael, and the question is why, especially since this nes was done in Chutzlaretz. Okay. So let's go weiter. We all know the famous Gemara, which is the mamash, the heart of Purim, when we accepted the Torah, we said Nas to Venishma, but then in addition to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over us like a barrel, Kofah Har Kegigis, and said if you're going to recover the Torah, fine, and if not, there will be your burial. Right? If we said already Nasa V'Nishma, why do we have to be forced to accept the Torah? So that's probably one of the most oldest Torah Shabbat pick questions that exist. The Medrash Tanchuma already asks it, and Parshas Noach. They said Nasa V'Nishma. So why do you have to Kofah Har Kegigis? You don't have to force a child to eat chocolate. He'll take it willingly. So what's the Medrash Tanchuma's answer? Everybody say, you told me? You know everybody at once? Spotlight? Tereshim Iksav and Tereshim Ope. We said Nasa V'Nishma and Tereshim Iksav, but we rejected the Tereshim Ope. Why? It's difficult. It's hard. We rejected it. And then we had Kofah Har Kegigis on Tereshim Ope. And on Purim, we accepted also the Tereshim Ope. Before going to Purim, so does that mean that the Jews in Matan Torah were Zdukim? How do you say Zdukim in English? And Karayim?
Karayim.
That's what they were, Pastor Shalom? They weren't Tereshim Iksav, not Tereshim Ope? That's what Charlie members? Yeah, they weren't only Tereshim Iksav, not Tereshim Ope. Really, to say that on dirt there? That they wanted only the written one, not the old one. Yeah, Karayim and Zdukim don't get on the Mahabah. So that's what they were? Pastor Shalom. So then what was it? So Rav Huda Zatzal in the Igeres explains, of course they accepted the Tereshim Ope. But they wanted, like, you know, what's called the Balabata Shazach. Namely, like if you call up a rabbi and you ask a rabbi, what's the halacha in this case? So the rabbi starts telling you, well, the Rambam says this, and the Shulchan Aruch says that. And the people go, you tell them, rabbi, just please give me the bottom line. Mutta, Asa. That's what Abbas all wanted. When the Kachlin Lachem Priya Tzoda means the Ezra, fine, I'll take an Ezra. Ukshatim Rasal Yedecha means Tfilin, fine. But you give me the bottom line. Meaning, Am Yisrael accepted upon themselves, let's say, regarding Hilchos Shabbos, not the Bira Halacha. That's difficult. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That's enough. Give us the bottom line. You know what? They accepted the Shmir Shabbos Hilchosa without the footnotes. Just give me... I don't want to work so hard. Just please tell me the bottom line. We'll communicate through Nevi'im or through Urim and Bitumim. We'll find a way of communication. We're just interested in the bottom line. But that we're going to have to toil and sweat and work out what's the pshat and what's the halacha. No, we don't want. So that's what happened in Zohar Midrash. The Chassid Shom, they're not Zdukim. They just don't want the Yegiyah of Torah Shvapeh. So what are they? Atzlanim. Okay, it's better than being a Karayim and a Zdukim. But that's what they were? A bunch of lazy people? Yeah, we don't want to work hard. Why not? We don't want. Right? Because they were all from Hasmo, Hestos, right? On Purim, we're allowed to make. That's what I'm trying. Read my book, what's up, shot? They were all Hasmoneans. Absher.
A glorious name.
Ah. So first, what's the reason? Okay, then I'm thinking, what's the reason they rejected Torah Shavuot initially? And if it is just sheer laziness, so what happened in Purim? They decided they don't want to be lazy anymore. Purim gave them the siyata. We don't want to be any more lazy. Obviously, that's not the pshat. There's something, let's call it X, that caused them to reject the toiling of Torah Shavuot and Har Sinai, and as a result of Purim, they don't have a problem with that X anymore. That's what you got to say. So it's not Zdukim, it's not Karayim, and it's not Atzlanim. So what is it? Okay. So we have a few questions here on the Rambam of connecting Purim to Eretz Yisrael, and we're trying to understand what happened on Purim, what happened in Har Sinai that they rejected the toiling, the Yegiyah of Tereshim Ope? What was the reason for doing so? And whatever the reason was, how did they stop? I mean, how come on Purim they decided, no, we want it. We want it. Okay, I'll be sorry. So to go into this Nakuda, yes, half an hour as usual? Yeah. Okay. So let's go into this Nakuda. There's a fascinating Gemara, what we say, in Maseches Yuma. Like, it's an Inyan from Purim, as we're going to see soon, but like a lot of times people ask us, where was the Kodesh Baruch Hu during the suffering of the Jewish people in the Shoah? It's a tremendous question. I just want to tell you, the Gemara asks the question. If anybody thinks he's inventing the question, it's a Gemara. Where's the Gemara? The Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Samachtet Amud Bet. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Why are they called the Great Assembly people? That they brought back the crown to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What crown are you talking about? Says the Gemara, because Moshe Rabbeinu called the Kadosh Baruch Hu with the attributes of Godol, Gibor, and Ara. Came the Nevim, Yirmiyahu and Daniel, and they saw the destruction of the first temple and the Jewish suffering. So each one omitted one of those titles. Yirmiyahu said, where's his Gvura? Where is he? He's a Gibor? So why is he doing anything? I'm not saying Gibor. Came Daniel and saw that the Goyim was subjugating the Jews. Where's his awesomeness? Where's his Nara? I'm not saying Nara. So I'm saying Gvura, guys. And so that some said them this. They stopped saying in their tefillahs Gibor and Nara because they didn't see it. Ad shebo'u anshei knesset gedola, so came the great assembly people and said, Adrabba, on the contrary, you know what his gvur is? It allows terrible things to happen. Like it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Ezer Gibor, Akoyvesh Yitzro. Because Bokh can stop things like this, and he doesn't do it. That's gvur. That he allows things to happen that he's not happy with. That's his gura. And what's his nara? How do you see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is awesome? Says the Gemara, otherwise, how could one nation exist among all the other nations? The existence of the Jewish people. According to the Medrash and Tanhuma told us, we're one sheep surrounded by 70 wolves. So listen, when I'm going to daven Maariv tonight, first of all, let's see if we'll daven Maariv. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem. Sometimes you're potter. But okay, so Lobos Lang and Shachas tomorrow for sure. So when you're going to say Gibor Benoya, what do you have to have in mind? What do you have to have in mind this one? When you say Gibor, what do you have in mind? How do you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Gvura? That he allows terrible things to happen. He lets people exercise their free will. And where do you see that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Noira? The existence of the Jewish people. Otherwise, meaning, the Gemara is saying here, I'll take an insight, a historical insight. Let's take the Jews in Poland 100 years ago, or the Jews in Russia 100 years ago. The Grand Vizier did not like us. We know. And we were totally helpless. So why did they kill us? What stopped them? How come the Tsar of Russia didn't kill the Jews a long time ago? How come the Polish public opinion would have endorsed it? Everything. So why did they kill us? What stopped them? If you think about it, it's an unbelievable kasha. What stopped them? Says the Gemara, they were afraid. Who's afraid? The Ummah Sa'ilam are afraid. Afraid of what? They know deep down we're the people of God. And declaring war and trying to annihilate all the Jewish people, they won't do it because they're afraid of God. They know they're the people of God. A pogrom here, a pogrom there, they'll get away with murder, like you say. But to have an official policy, let's wipe out all Jews, that's declaring war on God. They don't want to do it. How come throughout our long history of 2,000 years in Golos, only twice there was a decree, let's kill all Jews? Haman and Hitler. Yimach Shemam. Why not every Shemin Chamishi? What's that then? Noira. What does Noira mean? They're afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of God. How come the Jews in America, how come the Greymen in England don't come and kill us? No, they like us. Okay, I'll speak as an American. How come the Greymen in America don't get up and kill us? Because they're nice. They like Jews. Really? That's what's wrong? Well, it's impossible. Obama will make a policy to kill all Jews. He'll have to kill all his ministers first. And Capitol Hill is 70% Jewish. You know that's how it was in Germany also? In the 20s? Why don't the Grimm get up and kill us? The hatred's there. They have all what they have the ability to do it. So why aren't they doing it? Says the Gemara, Neima. They're afraid of God. That's what you have to have in mind when you say Shemona Esrei. We're one sheep among 70 wolves. How long will that sheep live? May I add hungry wolves? So how long will the sheep live? 2 seconds? Three? That's how long we should have lived. Okay, 3 seconds. So one thing is, how come twice it did happen? If it's Nara, why twice did it happen? It's a Moloch. A Moloch is not afraid of God. That's the outstanding characteristic of Amalek. Velo yere Elokim, like we read in Pasha Zohar. So how come Amalek did it only twice? How come Amalek didn't do it more? Amalek is a small nation. They didn't have the ability. Twice they had the ability, twice they tried to do it. That's what I want to say. Yeah, how about the Gemara? The Gemara in Megillah says, the first time Haman came and told Achashverosh, I'd like to kill the Jews. Do you know what Achashverosh responded? Leibodik. Yeah! Come on, it's Purim, we gotta do Leibodik. So, what's up, chat? You know what Haman, when Haman said the first time I want to kill the Jews, you know what Achashverosh told him? You know the first thing he responded? I'm afraid of their God. That's what he said. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Beis. And you know what Haman told him? Don't worry. Why is the Gemara recording a conversation between two goyim? You know, to make it to the Gemara, you got to be choshev. Why a conversation between Haman and Achashverosh made it to the Gemara? Because the Gemara wants to tell us the difference between a Persian goy and an Amaleki goy. The Persian goy says, I'm afraid. The Amaleki goy says, I'm not afraid. Because I'm so disconnected, I'm not afraid. I'm back to what I had. Okay, Rabbi said. So what I want to go on, says the Maharsha, over there in that unbelievable Gwaran Yuma, look into it, when you have a chance. Says the Maharsha, you know when Anshek Nesagdela reached this conclusion, that Adarabba, meaning we could say Gibor, and we could say Nara, like we say till today, as a result of Purim. Says the Maharsha on the spot. Purim showed them that we could say Gibor and we could say Nara, even though it's not making the headlines. How did Purim do it? Rabbi said, how did Purim do it? So, Rabbi said, just to go into this Nakuda, let's go again into this Purim Maseches Yuma. Yirmiyahu and Daniel said, where is he? I'm not saying Gibor. I'm not saying Nara. And the Anshei Knesset Gdela came and said, Adrabba, that's where he is. What's the machlekes between the Nevi'im and Anshei Knesset Gdela? What, the Nevi'im could come up with the understanding, Adrabba, Henan Gvoresov? The Noira is, otherwise how could the Jewish people exist amongst every nation? What's the machlekes? You know, like in yeshivas, we're always taught to think, what are they arguing about? How come Yirmiyahu and Daniel said, I'm not saying Gibor Benar? And Anshei Knesset Gdela said, I could say it. What are they arguing about? We say, so Rav Hutna Zatzal, the Pachad Yitzchak explains. It's a muscle I think once we mention it here. If a Rebbe gives a shir, when anybody has to speak in public, from time to time, he has to pause. Right? He has to pause. Why is he pausing? It's inevitable. Why does he have to pause? He has a new kasha. He's thinking how to present it in a clearer way. He doesn't want to confuse the crowd, etc. Right? I once thought of the Oilam, used to be a tape recorder called voice activated. You know what it was? It only recorded when the person spoke. And when the person did not speak, it didn't record. Once I brought it over to the Shiur of Ramesh Shapira, I remember and it was like playing with the buttons. So Ramesh asked me, anything special with that tape recorder? Because it looks like a regular tape recorder. I said very proudly, yes. It's very special. What? It's voice activated. What does that mean? I told him, it's just meaning the silences will not be recorded? I said, no, they won't. So he tells me, so the main part of the shir will be missing. That's what I say. The main part of the shir is the silence. Like revach, the parts of the parsha. But Rabbi said, a good Talmud is a Talmud that understands all what the Rebbe says. That's a very good Talmud. But who's even a better Talmud? If he understands what? The pauses. If he understands the silence. How could you understand the silence of someone? I know him so well. I know how he thinks. I know what he's thinking about. Really? Yeah. I saw in the Mir Yeshiva, the Talmid of Rav Nochum Pratsovich Zatzal, when he would read a Gemara and a Rashi, especially in Rashi. Read the Rashi, pause, and go on. They would say, I know what was bothering him. I could figure out. How do you know what was bothering him? I know him. I'm learning by him already for 12 years. I know how he thinks. I saw the way he reads the Rashi and stuff. I know. The Chachamim are the ones that understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's silence. A Navi understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu only when he talks. A Navi is the student that understands the Rebbe when the Rebbe is talking. The word Navi comes from the word Nif Sosan. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks, I understand. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is silent, where is he? Where is he? What's the silence? The Chachamim are the ones that understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't utter a word. That's what the Gemara says in Baal Basra. Chacham Adif Minavi. A Chacham has an edge over a Navi. Says the Ramban, you know why? Yodim ha'emes, because the Chachamim know the truth, beruach ha'kodesh shebekirbam. A Navi is being fed from outside. And if the outside stops, where is he? But a Chacham figures it from inside. Yodim ha'emes, also ruach ha'kodesh, aber bekirbam, from inside. That's the adifus of a Chacham over a Navi. Here is the issue of Purim. What did Purim teach us? I have a new title for the name of Purim, for the Chag of Purim. The Sound of Silence. You know, my generation knows the song. No. Maybe you guys don't know it. Okay, but we know it.
Purim is the sound of silence. What do you mean, the sound of silence?
Because everything was behesta. Everything was done quietly. The hero was called Esther. Esther Minatoy Minayin, Shanem Anochi Asta Esther Ponai. You know, the word mystery appears almost in all languages that I checked, and it comes from our Hebrew word seta. Mystery. Comes from, it's our word, seta. So mystery, how do you say it in French? Anybody here speak French? Mystère. How do you say it in Russian? Anybody here speak Russian? Okay, then the self's hidden. We don't know who speaks Russian, but I'll go put it on my side. I checked it in 15 languages. The word mystery is our Hebrew word seter, and her name is Esther. Esther minatar minayin. Shenema anochi aster ponai. Purim is the sound of silence. Purim, the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, does not appear even once. Purim is, if you would look at it in the way a goy would look at it, what happened on Purim? No big deal. There was a vicious anti-Semite that wanted to kill all the Jews. But there was a Jewish lobby headed by Esther Amalka, and she took care of everything. Very normal. Very normal. But the word of Purim is that we understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu's silence. We figured out everything is the fingerprints of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Purim. As the Maharsha, as a result of Purim, they got now the self-confidence, Anshik Nesagdola, to figure out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shtika. Purim gave us this ability. We could figure out a Kodesh Baruch Hu even when he's silent. How? You study his Torah? G'dayli Yisrael studied the Torah Kalim Echayim? So G'dayli Yisrael have the ability of which is called Das Torah, and they could figure out Ratzon Hashem even without speaking a word to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Purim taught us. Mimela Rabbi Yisrael, let's go on and say, that's what the Gemara in Yuma. What happened in Har Sinai that they rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh? And on Purim they re-accepted it. If it's laziness, what Purim they decide to be not lazy anymore? Doesn't make sense. A place of Chas V'Shalom to say on Dor HaMidbar that they rejected it because of laziness. Chas V'Shalom. It's pure Yiras Shamayim. What do you mean pure Yiras Shamayim? We're going to have to try to figure out on our own what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Maybe I'll make a mistake. Maybe I won't do it right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why should I take chances? You tell me. Mazel. You tell me the bottom line and everything will be safe. Why do I have to second guess what you want? No. But the reason that they rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh, Matan Torah, is not due to laziness. It's due to Yiras Shamayim. How could we on earth, here on earth really is appropriate, how on earth could we figure out what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants? That's why they said no. What does Purim come and tell them? That what? We have the ability. We have it. We could. On Purim, we figured out that the 9-year story of the Megillah is all one story. And whatever happened has to do with one sleepless night. How could you say such kind of thing? We figure it out. We had the sensitivity of figuring out a Kodesh Baruch Hu Shtika. And if you could figure out a Kodesh Baruch Hu Shtika, you have no problem of accepting Torah Shabbat Peh. We could do it. We can. Yes, we can. That's what I'm with it. Yes, we can. That's the point. Purim tells us, yes, we can. If you're Mechavan Lashem Shemayim and you try your best, you get, don't worry. Don't worry. That's the word of Purim. when did we get, when was this transformation done from Nes to Teva? And we're supposed to train ourselves to figure out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fingerprint in every Nekuda of the Bria. When did that transformation take place? When we entered Eretz Yisrael. And Dor HaMidbar was Dor HaBnissim. Dor HaMidbar was man every day. The Maharal says, Mefarash and Chidush HaGadot and Saita, how come the Meragim really didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael? What's the real reason? Like this, the real reason. We're used to missing. We used to open miracles. We don't want to go to that you wake up and you have to harvest and work regularly. So Eretz Yisrael and Purim are sending the same message. Try that we could acknowledge and notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the day-to-day events without making headlines. Therefore, Eretz Yisrael and Purim are intrinsically related. That's a kamur koveh Purim according to the when we entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua, not Shlomo. I'm not by random going to take a time that Eretz Yisrael was built. The time that we went through this shinui, this change, transformation between Nes and Teva, that happened in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Happened in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, that's a Kampurim and Yeshua ben Nun are Taka Mechutanim. They have a lot to do with each other. Says the Rambam, the Yezikon Eretz Yisrael ben Nes Zeh. Then this Nes echoes what Eretz Yisrael is about. Namely, it echoes of the Nekuda of that we could, if we'll pay attention, acknowledge Dvar Hashem on any Nekuda in the Bria, Purim and Eretz Yisrael. Says the Rambam, the Nes Zeh. Meaning the mere fact that I'm calling Purim a Nes shows, a Nes means I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it. If I acknowledge that whatever happens day to day is also Dvar Hashem, V'yezikon le'eretz Yisrael b'nes zeh. And that's how come we don't go to the times of Shlomo. That's irrelevant, Shlomo. Yeshua, that's what we're looking for. So Purim is to tell us, yes, I can. We could do it. Train yourself. You'll start noticing Dvar Hashem. But first, I just want to conclude with the minute that I have left. A story that happened with my chevre and Hasbro, Lokasham, on Lel Shabbat, Friday night. I just want to conclude. I had a Einik Shabbos in my house, and my shir that I teach came, and I started asking the boys if each one could say over a story that he experienced in his own life that will reflect Hashgacha Pratis, that it's not a coincidence. So this one said that story, the other one said another story. Came a fellow, I'll mention his name because it will be a tremendous nekuda, a very good boy in our Bris Medrash. His name is Benji Blau. A very good boy. And he says, you know, I read in the Sefer that there's really no Hashgacha Pratis in Chutz La'aretz. Hashgacha Pratis only is in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there's one shita. So therefore, I really don't have any special story to say Hashgacha Pratis in Chutz La'aretz, because I hold like the shita, the Hashgacha Pratis, is only in Eretz Yisrael. Fine! 100%. 10 minutes later, he goes to the bathroom in our house, and he comes out. He says, why is my father's phone number written on your tissue box? I said, what are you talking about? He says, go inside, you'll see. There's a tissue box with a phone number. I said, we don't write phone numbers in tissue boxes. Go in there, you'll see. So I went in there. I took about my wife's handwriting. And there's Jackie Blau's phone number on the tissue box. I said, I don't know, it's my wife's handwriting. She's now sleeping. I'll ask her tomorrow morning. I asked her the next morning. She says, yeah, he's a travel agent. Jackie Blau's a travel agent. Once I needed it, and I wrote it on the, I didn't have a piece of paper to write it on, so I wrote it on that, and then the tissue made it somehow for the bathroom. I don't remember how, the tissue box, and that's where it is. So after he said that there's no Hashgacha Pratis in Chutz La'aretz, 3 minutes later, he finds his father's phone number in my bathroom on a tissue box. And coming out saying, what is my father's phone number doing in your bathroom? And like it's so mamish, it's b'chush to say, after the fact, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, there's more Hashgacha Pratis, but even in Northwest London, on Brent 6 Hampshire Court, there's also Hashgacha Pratis. After you said 2 minutes ago that maybe we'll go like the Shita, there's no Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi says, so that's the idea of Purim, to notice that Hashgacha Pratis is always sending to us signals, always, always, always flashing to us. We just got to be aware and alert to notice it. That's what Purim is about. And in Yetzir Shem Rabbi said, we should develop a sound, our hearing, that we could really hear the sound of silence. Afrelecha Purim, Kozo.